It's so wonderful, like I said, to be here, to see so nice people. You know, when you give up your Sundays and come into God's house, it's a blessing. Because some of you can still be sleeping on the bed, which is very nice and warm. Or some of you can be sitting down in McDonald's and having a morning breakfast. But you chose to feast in the house of God. And the Bible tells us our God is a rewarder. He never forgets the things you do that brings honor to Him. And so this morning, I want to share with you something that God has put in my heart. And I think you're going to enjoy it. Let me tell you something. As Christians, you don't have to look so sad or sour or so holy. You can laugh, you know that? We're supposed to be cheerful people. How many of you know that? I'm trying to get my breath. We're supposed to be cheerful. We can laugh. We can enjoy in God's house. You know, when I got saved, before I came to be a Christian, they told me, don't become a Christian because in God's house, you have to look sad. You can't laugh. And I am a comical guy. I like to laugh. I laugh at my own jokes also. That's what I always tell my wife. If you got nobody to laugh, laugh at your own stupid joke. Do something stupid and laugh. Because laughter is a medicine that helps heals the body. That's why today we have so many people in hospitals with anxiety, with stress, when all they had to do is just laugh. And they don't have to go through stress. So good, this morning, give me some teeth. I like to see you laughing. Well, praise God for that. Can we put the main PowerPoint up? What's my message on today? This morning, I want to share with you. But before I share, I want to say, Father, I just thank you for this morning, Lord God. Thank you for your love. And thank you for this privilege and honor, Lord God. And Father, this morning I declare, Lord God, that you shall increase and I will decrease, Lord. And Lord, I just pray a special blessing over this congregation, Father, for their love, for their faithfulness, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. It's so wonderful. You know, we can make a difference. You can make a difference. We all are called to make a difference. Do you know that? In the Bible, from the beginning of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, all the people that we read about made a difference. Whether it's a great difference or it's a small difference, we are called to make a difference. You know, the sad thing sometimes we Christians, when we think we are saved, and we don't need to do anything else. Let me tell you, when God saved you and gave you the grace of life, he didn't see a church and say, I see Impact Church, there's one seat empty. Johnny, sit there. Sit there now. You sit there all the while, just do nothing. No. Or you didn't see Hill City Church, one person. Mary, sit there, do nothing. He caught you because you got something to do for him. And the funny thing or the sad thing is, we always think when we have to do something, we must do great bombastic things that the whole world will see what we do. But the little things means a lot to God. So we all are called to make a difference, whether it's a great difference or a big difference, a difference. And the difference must be people can see. When not that we want to show them, but people can see the difference we make. And they can see the difference in our lives also first. When I first got saved, I had to learn how to make a difference because I don't know if I shared this to you. My pastor, when I first got saved, he's a Chinese. And you know, a Chinese is very fair. But when I sat and I talked with him and my wife, we had dinner, I think he made the biggest mistake by calling me out to dinner with him. Because every second word that I spoke was a curse word. And he from white became red, became purple, became pink. His face was changing. His wife was changing color also. And I didn't know. I was just rattling away. After finish, he said, Brother, I am praying God would change your language. Because I was a soldier and I was a police officer. And you don't talk nice things to people. You want them to move, you shout at them or you scream, they move. But after a couple of years, when I went to mission and I came back and I sat with him and he said, Jeffrey, let's go for dinner this time. After I've talked, he said, God really changed your language, you know? That's a little difference which I did not see, but people saw. So we must make, sometimes to start to make a difference with people, we start with ourselves. We got to make the difference here first. Then we can talk and make the difference. Well, let me read this morning's scripture. I want to read from you, to you, from the book of Acts. Let me see if I got my Acts here. Yeah. Let me get my Acts in order. Acts 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what we call the Italian regime, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God." You see, whenever we pray, whenever we do something that God calls us to do, it says it comes up as a memorial before God. What is a memorial? A memorial is something that comes up that you can remember. Why we celebrate Anzac Day? It's a memorial. We remember what people did, gave their life. And your prayers come up to God as a memorial. Please don't think that if God didn't answer your prayers, he forgot you. No, your prayers are there always before him. And God remembers your prayers. God remembers the things you do. And then God will answer it, but at his time, not at your time. The Bible here don't tell us how long Cornelius has been praying. But the Bible said the angel came and told him, your prayers and your alms have come before God. And it's a memorial. In other words, whenever God looks at it, you see, Cornelius. Whenever he looks at that memorial, it's Cornelius. And God will bless you eventually because at his own timing. And he goes further to say, now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him constantly. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on a journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on a housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became hungry. Ah, wonderful this. You know why? When the time for prayer, we also get hungry. If the pastor said, tomorrow we're having prayer in the church, suddenly out of 100, you see only two people there. The rest are in McDonald's eating or in Kentucky Fried Chicken eating. Or they call, I can't come today, I got something on. Just when that prayer is, something happens. So like Peter is just like us. As he's praying, his stomach is thinking, what fish should I eat? Today, is McDonald's or Kentucky now? Thank God he didn't have those things there. And sometimes we get people like this. When time of prayer, we get distracted. Every other thing will distract us. And when the pastor said, you know, I missed you at the prayer session. Oh, pastor, you didn't know, man. You don't know what I'm going through. What are you going through? Something, pastor, but they won't tell you. So Peter is also saying, so don't be hard on yourself when you feel hungry when you pray. Just control your stomach and keep on praying. And saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let it down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. And this was done three times. If you study Peter, you will find everything he do in threes. He denied Jesus three times. Jesus had to ask him, you will love me three times. And now Jesus had to tell him, Peter, this is what I'm doing. Eat. And he's trying to be like, you know, some of us, oh Lord, please, you know me, God, I don't touch this funny 30 things. I'm very holy and pious. Don't let me touch this. But God said, what I call clean is clean. Don't you call it dirty. But what God was telling him was, you are being a Jew, you're going to the Gentiles. And so God sent him to the Gentiles. Why the Gentiles? Because according to the Jew, Gentiles are pagans and dogs. We are dirty. And God said, what you call dirty, I call clean. Now you go in there. You know, God has a sense of humor. How many of you know that? You know. God is a guy, he loves to do sometimes jokes on us. And I tell you the truth. When I got saved, my imagination or my mind thought, Jeffrey, now you're going to Hawaii to evangelize. You're going to all. And God said, you're going to India. And I, as usual, like Peter, got my big mouth from far. My pastor was saying India. I said, no, not India, Hawaii. He said it the second time during the service. And the second time I opened my big mouth, finally God sent me to India and I love it. I've been to India so many times. You see, God has a sense of, you don't like the place, I will send you. And when God said, you're going to the Middle East, I said, no, God, I love Israel. I'm going to Israel. Because I've been to Israel, I like. He said, you're going to the Arabs. I said, no, Lord, I want to shoot them. I don't want to go and praise to them. I tell you the truth. This is what I said. God, no, I don't like them. I want to shoot them. They like to kill people, so maybe I... God said, you going to the Middle East. I spent 10 years in the Middle East. I love it, and I want to go back again. You go again, but now he won't send me back. Because he said, you love it too much, you're going to... Now I don't know where he'll send me. God has a sense of humor. You don't like, he send you. You like, he stop you. Why? Because he doesn't want us to be lazy and comfortable. And so this. So let's see these two characters today I want to talk about. Cornelius, a centurion. Peter, a Jewish fisherman. Both from two different worlds. Different character, different attitudes, different beliefs. But God chose both of them. So that goes to show and tell you, God is not a respecter of anybody. Because my Bible tells me he came and died for us. He did not say he died for the Christians, he died for the Jews, he died for the Muslims. He died for all. And so he died for every human being on earth. God is no respecter of man. So he came to die for all. Both of them had a different encounter with God. One, the angel spoke to him. Another one was when he was praying, God took him in a trance and showed him things. You see, and both of them made an impact that we are still 2,000 over years ago talking about it. Jesus lived on this earth for 33 years, and 3 years of his ministry is an impact so great that we have been talking about it for the last 2,000 years. David, Abraham, Moses, Paul, all created an impact. Some are great impact. But you know, you can create an impact, a good impact or a bad impact. We read in the Bible, there are some kings who created bad impact, but we still talk about them. Because an impact or the difference they made is a difference. And so we can do that. And God wants us to do that. Peter, a Jewish fisherman. In fact, he was the second disciple of Jesus. And Peter was a guy who was brought up in the tradition of the Jews. In other words, they don't eat anything. How many of you know the Jews don't eat crabs because things that walk sideways, they don't eat. Things that have no hooves, they don't eat. They don't eat pig. And all these things. And so Peter, when he was called, he was trying to tell God, when God showed him in that blanket that came down, I'm sure there were crabs and lobsters and all those things in there. That's why Peter said, I don't kill and eat these things. God, you know it. Sometimes we are like that. God, you know who am I, Lord. The brother next year needs, he's sinful. I'm okay, God. We get too self-righteous. So Peter was a bit, but don't have to be worried because we are all like that. And you know, God understands us. He's a wonderful God. He understands us. He is filled with love and compassion. He allows you to do U-turns. You made a mistake, come back. God is there always. And so he's using Peter and he's trying to show to Peter, Peter, I got something special for you. In other words, literally, if I will say, Peter, shut up, listen to me first. Don't open your mouth. I got something special for you. I want you to do something that throughout the generation, they will be talking about you. The impact that you created. How do we create an impact? We need two things. One, we must learn to discard any preconceived ideas, notions about other people. I had that notion, I had an idea. If you send me to the Arabs, I don't like them. Why? I grew up thinking that way. So in order to do God's work, you must get rid of all those notions where you put people, you stereotype people, you know? Oh, they are like this and I cannot go to these people, Lord. We have to get rid of all those kinds of notions. Ideas about people, the way. You know, people are people. They will talk different than you. Just because they speak way different, you don't like them. or just because they dress up different, you don't like them. Now, you have to get rid of all these preconceived ideas that you have in your mind. The second thing is, we need to walk in love. Because Jesus said, the greatest of this commandment is love. I found it difficult when I had to go to the Middle East. And I thought to myself, how can I love these people when they're waiting to kill us? But God showed me that you can. The reason you say you can't is because it's here. If you say you can, it comes from here. And so I learned to love them. In fact, I love them so much, I walk around the town with all the Arabs and they start rioting and they start demonstrating in front of the church, because when Israel bombs them and they demonstrate in front of the church, I will go out and talk to them and they will not even lift a stone and throw on the church or curse the church. They're respectful people. Very respectful. Because in their Quran, they have the first five books of our Bible. In the Torah, it's the same first five books in our Bible. So they know all about God. They know all about Abraham, Jacob. They know it. And they respect. And I learned to love them. Was it easy? No. But I had to learn to love them. And finally, I learned to love them, and I love them, really. Because you know who the Muslims are? The Arabs? They are our half-brothers. They are the half-son of Abraham. Until they come back into the kingdom of God, then I tell you, God will come back to earth. Because they are still lost. God wants to draw them in. And many of them have come to Jesus Christ in my time there. So God is no respecter. He loved them. But we have to get rid of all these ideas, the way we think about them, the way we talk about them, the way we act about them. Because we build this thing up in our heads and it becomes a barrier. And then God can't use us to make a difference. Because God wants us all to make a difference. I believe and I pray that I made a difference in that country that I spent 10 years there. Lived through the Gulf War and God kept us safe. And it's a wonderful place to be in. You know, Paul tells us this in Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed. By what? The renewing of your mind. He never said the renewing of your heart, of your attitude, your mind, because everything we start conceived from here. The good, the bad, and the ugly from here. And so Paul tells us that. So we must think what is good, what is noble. We think of those things. You know, to think bad about people is the simplest thing. It's the easiest thing. You don't need an education to think that. But to think good about people, you really need some training. How? You train yourself. And so Paul tells us that. Think of these things. Change your mind. Your minds have to change. You know, to share with you, I had a heart attack twice, once 2 years ago and once quite recently preaching in a church. But one thing that me I've learned, because I've grown up and my dad was a man who always say, there's no such thing in our vocabulary, the word no, and I cannot. And so I grew up that way. And so when I got a heart attack, came out of the hospital after that, had to go for some seminars. You got to go for heart seminars. And I go to the seminar, I'll wish the nurses, hey, good morning, how are you guys doing? And they look at me and said, how come you're so happy? I said, why should I be sad? He said, you know, everybody who gets heart attack, they come here, they feel anxiety and stress. I said, no, I don't have stress. I don't have anxiety. I just feel, that's a heart attack. It's a heart attack. You have to go. I'm gone home. I said to Jesus, if I didn't go, I'm still stuck here. So I'm here today with you guys. So Jesus knows not my time to go back there. Maybe he said, I still got something to learn. Jeffrey, stick there first. And so one of the part of the seminar they were going through, and it comes there. If you're feeling anxious, you're feeling anxiety, speak to your pastor or your priest. I said, hey, they're talking about God now. And so the lady after that, she talked to me, how do you do? I said, I never felt anything. It's a heart attack. I'm okay. I do what exercise I have to do. And I said, look, you put there, you speak to the pastor. Yeah. I said, I speak to myself. What do you mean? I said, I'm the pastor, so I talk to myself. I got no other pastor there to talk to me. I talk to myself. So I tell myself, Pastor Jeffrey, you're okay. You know that? Okay. And she laughed. And she said, you're a funny man. I said, ah, good. You know that. Because I came here to make you laugh. I said, because I don't feel anxious. You see, it's all we did it. We must think. Because I said, God, you saved me means you gave me something else to do. Maybe I haven't done, I haven't created another impact or some difference in other people's life. That's why you gave me another lease of life. But if you took me home, hallelujah, I'll be singing up there before my wife. And I tell my church people, if you don't come to church so regularly, when you go up there, you'll be my gardener. I'll have a big mansion up there, you're cutting my lawn. All the golden grass. So, that's the way. Because we must create an impact. How do you create an impact with people? You know, when I talk to them, they feel happy. They said, Pastor, you know, we feel so nice when you come here. You're jovial, you talk this. I said, just because I got a heart attack, should I look like I'm going to die or what? Sad, wrong, pull my... No, I'm still surviving. And that's how we create an impact. I don't realize that little thing is an impact for them. They see, oh, you make a difference. We all can make a difference. But in order to make a difference, first you must learn to be obedient to God. Cornelius was obedient. Peter was obedient what God told them. Sometimes we struggle with trying to be obedient, but if you say, Lord, not my will, but your will, I'll do what you want me to do. Obedience. Because of Cornelius' obedience, his entire family and household, the Bible says, was saved, received salvation. Because of Peter's willingness to go and being obedient, Peter went there and shared the message, and Peter created such an impact that Cornelius' name is written in the Bible, although he is what? An outsider. You must be obedient. And we must get out of our comfort zone. You see, sometimes we think that I'm God, save God. I tell you what, Jesus, now you send me the people passing by in front of me, I'll pick which one you want me to save. God, no, don't work that way. God will say, get up, walk, go. I'm sending you somewhere. Go into all the world, the Bible says. Go. He didn't say, sit and I'll bring. You need to get up from your comfort zone. And you know something? Comfort zone is called a comfort zone because it's so comfortable we don't want to get up. Especially when coming to church on a Sunday during winter. You don't want to get up from that warm bed, man. And you're struggling trying to get a stomachache, trying to get a headache now so that I can tell the pastor I got a stomachache, I got a headache. Suddenly it came this morning. We must all get away from our comfort zone. Because God wants to send you. The sad thing today, why we find churches not growing is because we assume people must come to church. In the Old Testament, the church went to people from house to house and then people came. We need to go. But when I say that we need to go, you don't smile and say, the pastor must go. You also have to go. Don't look so happy. You have to go. Each one of us must go. We know our neighbors. We can start little connect group, little family. You know, you can do a lot of things just to make a difference. If you cook, share with people something nice you cook, your neighbor. You can clean the garden, help them do the thing. You know, one of the things, I'm retired actually. I only do the church work. And I got a lot of time. And I want to create an impact. I want to create a difference in the lives of people. Every Friday, I go to the Morrison Road Baptist Care Home for the aged. Every Friday, I go there. And all the people that they give me to talk to are dementia people. And I go every Friday and I make a little impact. And I tell them, can I pray for you? Some will say, yes, you can pray. Some will say, no, I'm not Christians, but I'll pray for them. I talk just to go there and say, hey, hello, how's your day? Right. You're looking good. You're looking sharp. Yeah. Anyway, who are you? I said, I'm Jeffrey. See? I came here last week. Ah, okay. Because I can't remember, you see. But I just go there and I say, come, let's sit in the lounge. We can have coffee. Some will say, hey, how come you're not having coffee? You're not having cake? I said, no worry. Just to create that little difference in their life. It only takes 2 hours of my time. And I feel so blessed because last year we went there and we had a Christmas celebration. We did Christmas for them. We gave them gifts and presents. And just to see them enjoying the songs, Christmas songs. Some of them, suddenly the songs brought back the memories that they enjoyed. They sing. I see one Italian lady, she always see me, she grab me and tell me to stand there for 1 hour till she sing a song. And I would say, dear, I really don't understand what you're singing, but I enjoy you singing. And I cannot speak to you because you don't understand me also. And we both will talk like, laughing. But I enjoy it and she enjoys singing me. that's the difference. We are called to make a difference in people's life. You don't have to, it doesn't cost me much money. My time, my driving, I enjoy it. And you know, when I come out, I think, Lord, half of them are older than me. One or two are younger than me. I thank you, God, that I am still have my faculties. I can still think. I can still walk. I can still eat. I can still, you know, I kept praising God. We all are blessed. More than you can think or ask for. When I first started going there, the first month was a struggle. Because when I look at them in their room, they got pictures, photographs. Some was a racing car driver, some a motorcycle driver, some are singers and tough looking, and the body's now shrunk. And I was so sad, and I said, God, you mean our body is going to be like this when we get old? And I remember God's word, yes, in this earth, your body will just decay. And when I look at myself, I'm 72, and I said, thank you, Jesus, I'm still got that strength. So at least I can contribute something to these people's. I always joke with them. They like to laugh. And they, in fact, one or two call me, you're the funny man that comes here, huh? Why? It doesn't cost me anything to make them laugh. Make a difference in people's life. You know, when you do that, it says it comes up as a memorial before God. Not I'm doing it just because I want God to know, but when you do things that God never forgets what you do. I may not get all the blessing or wealth that I'd like to have, but as long as I'm healthy, thank God for that. As long as I can enjoy my food, thanks God for that. As long as I can breathe and walk without help, thank God for that. So I can make a difference to other people, for other people, so that they too can enjoy something. And we are called to make a difference. And when we are called also, you must learn to trust God. You know, if God said, you do it, you do it. Why? Because He says He will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, when God sent us to the Middle East, and I said, Lord, I don't know anybody there. Now, how do I go? But God said, go. And I decided to go. When you obey, you're faithful, the blessings are there. You see, the sad thing is a lot of us believers, sometimes we think, you know, I've been praying for years over this and over that and this, and God is not answering my prayers. Let me tell you first thing, God is not deaf. God is not dumb. Something wrong with your prayers. Start thinking about it, change it. Like Jesus said in the book, why you pray and you don't receive it, you pray amiss. Means amiss what? I'm praying always for myself, not for other people. One of the things I learned in my many years in life is, if I want my church to grow, I pray for your church to grow first. If I want to be blessed, I pray that you get blessed first. When I pray that you get blessed, automatically God will bless me. I don't have to ask Him. He will bless me. Because when you pray, you must pray that other people, in other words, you don't have a selfish heart. Lord, I want to see them blessed. I want to see them grow, Lord. Give them growth. And God will give it to you. Because the Bible said, Jesus said, you pray for food, you pray for clothes, you pray for all these things. And He said, what? My Father in heaven knows these things you need. God knows you need food. God knows you need clothes. God knows you want a good health. He will provide it. So you pray for others. Those that are sick, Lord, heal them. Those that can't walk, heal them, Lord. And this is what I believe in my many years in service. You pray for others, God take care of you. And so you must learn to trust God. And then the final thing is, you need to ignore criticism. You know, people will criticize you. Oh, you think you're so holy, you think you're so pious, every time talking about Jesus. You know, one of the biggest shock of my life when I came from the Middle East and I came to Australia. And I like to talk to anybody if I see, even in the hawker center, in the mall, when I'm sitting and having coffee, somebody look at me and say, hi, brother, how are you? You know Jesus? And when I did that, you know, Belmont, the guy told me, don't talk to me about Jesus. I don't want to know it. I said, oh, gee. I thought I came to a Christian country. The guy threatened me, don't talk to me about Jesus. Okay. But you ignore criticism. That didn't stop me from talking to people again. You know, sometimes we Christians got to learn to have crocodile skin. Not get touchy with everything people say, or somebody, you know, come to church and the pastor didn't wish me this morning. The pastor was walking, he's talking to everybody. Oh, I don't like the pastor now. He don't talk to me anymore. He saw me 6 times. He never wished me. Minor things. We must not major in the minor things, man. Those things distract us. So if you don't have a thick skin, start getting a thick skin. Let people talk to you and rubbish. You know, when I was in Cyprus and we were doing missionary there, I lived there for 2 years. One of the things that I had, I told the pastor, let's go down to the red light district. Now, don't get any wrong ideas. And I said, because in the daytime when I pass by there, it looks like a beautiful market. In the night, it's a red light district. And so we went there one evening to sit down and to talk and putting to see all the young girls in that trade. And we sat at one table and this girl came to us thinking that we were going to enjoy her. And we said, no, sit dear. We came here to talk to you about Jesus. We are Christians. And we did speak to her for a long time. Her pimp came up, was very annoyed because we took her time away from him. Anyway, we did. Finally, they chased us out. They said, get out. You're coming here and taking away my business. And we used to go 2-3 times. I pray and hope whoever heard the voice one day gave their life to Jesus. But whenever we go there, the pimp's already looking. These people must chase them out. They don't come and do business. They come and take away my business. But criticism will come. Whether you do good or you do that, people will talk about you. Because people got mouth. And you can't stop them from talking. So if you're going to feel everything is going to hurt you, when you can't do God's work. People criticize Jesus and said he's a glutton. People talk bad about him. So people will talk bad about you. If I was 40 years ago, if people talk bad about me, there would be a broken jaw. But now I learned that. I learned to learn what God tells me. Because these things happen. And you know, when I came to know God, I had to tell him, I had to confess him to him my sins. I think it was longer than any newspaper I can ever think. I had to tell him. These are the things I did. And you know, God forgive you. He forgive you. And I said, Lord, I got to learn also to be a bit thick-skinned. And he gave me a really thick skin. Because you must. If you want to create an impact, you want to create a difference in people's life, their thing change here first. So that when somebody look, they can say, hey, you change, you know? You're different. You know, I have a brother who's also a pastor. He's my younger brother. I'm the third. He's in the fourth in the family. And he was born again, and he was the one who spoke to me to get born again. And I used to mock him and laugh at him. And finally, I gave my life to Jesus, and we both. And I went back and told my mom, Mom, I'm like Peter now. We both believe in Jesus. She looked at me and said, you're both in a cult. I don't believe you. You're the biggest rascal. I don't believe. And your brother, never. Both of you are rascals. You see, because mom had a preconcept that, because we were rascals. Oh, let me tell you that. We were. But she couldn't change her thinking. Although later in her life she did. And she said, yeah. But Jeffrey, I don't know how you change. Not me. Jesus. But mom always had this picture. You are such a... You know, when I brought her up to Australia and I introduced her to my senior pastor in the church, I said, Mom, this is my senior pastor. And my senior pastor made the biggest mistake. How is he? She said, oh, you don't know him. My God, he's the biggest rascal and devil in the house. Always in trouble. I said, Mom, please, 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 this is the church. Don't talk about me. But she had that preconceived idea. And sometimes when we see people get saved because we know who they are, we still have that preconceived idea. I don't believe he's safe. I don't believe she's safe. Straight away, we can't do any impact. We can't create an impact. We can't create a difference. Because if God can get a donkey to talk to somebody, God can get a donkeys like us to do his work. And God will do it. Only we must be ready. And you know, some of the simple examples Jesus gave us how we can create a difference. Jesus said while he was teaching, if you give me a cup of water, you gave me a shirt when I was naked, you came to prison to see me when I was in prison. And the Bible said, they said, when did we do all these things, Lord? And Lord said, when you did it to the least of all. In other words, when you did it to the ones that people don't want to recognize, you did it, I remember. little things. You know, when you go to McDonald's or when you go out and eat, and sometimes you see some people standing there, buy something for them. Yeah, come on, I paid for you. You're just going to have food to eat. You know, you do good deeds, even using your own finances. Let me tell you, I've done that. And it never made me poorer anyway. Never. It made me feel so glad that you do that for people. You see, because when you die, the only thing you can get to heaven is your good works, not your money, not your Mercedes Benz, not your iPhone 13. And when we die, we want to stand before God and hear those wonderful words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." When you create a difference in people's life, you are building up yourself treasures in heaven. Because God never forgets your good gifts. God never forgets the good deeds you've done. You know, although He says, "I take away your sins and far as the east is from the west," God forgets our sins. He doesn't want to remember our sins, but He will never forget our good deeds. He never forgets our good deeds. How wonderful we have a God who said, "I don't want to know your sins. I put them all away." And let me tell you, every day we fall. Every day we sin. Every day we make mistakes. But yet God said, "I don't want to remember those things. But I want to remember the good things you're doing. I want to remember the things that you bless the people. I want to remember the things that you think of the poor, the down and out people." God remembers. And that is the way we create. We can make a difference in people's lives. You know? Young men, you can make a difference in people's lives. Young men and women, you can. Even the older people like us can make a difference in people's life. We all can make a difference. Find something that you're good at. Do it. And you can create a difference in people's life. You know, can you put the last PowerPoint up? I want to show you what the president, the ex-president of America, Jimmy Carter said. Jimmy Carter said these wonderful words. "I have one life. And one chance to make it count for something. My faith demands that I do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever I can, for as long as I can, with whatever I have, to make a difference." You know that Jimmy Carter has a, what they call, when he retired, he started an organization, Jimmy Carter, that goes around the world helping poor and destitute people. As it's a Christian organization. Jimmy Carter is a Christian, and he does this. And this is wonderful words to say. Whatever you can, wherever you can, however I can, we can. And we can do it. In closing, I want to give you three words that you should remember if you want to create a difference. Remember to aspire. To inspire. Before you expire. Three words, remember. You can aspire to inspire other people because you're going to expire shortly. Run out date is coming up fast for some of us. And that is what I always tell my wife. I said, when I was young, I think of different things. You know, you think of job, you think of climbing up the ladder, you think of this, you think of that. But when you reach my age, those things are no more important. Not important to me. You know, I had people who came and told me, "Pastor Jeffrey, we like to work full time, we want to employ you." I look at them and I said, 72 years old, you want to employ me? I don't want to work full time anymore. I've got a full time job doing God's work. "No, but we can pay you big." I said, "I'm tired of big salary. All the years I've been chasing big, 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 I ended up in the big ditch." You know, when you chase after money, you end up, nothing is, you will never feel satisfied with what you have. You always think you want a bit more, a bit more. I remember this interview many years ago when I saw Bill Gates when he was just coming up as a billionaire. And Bill Gates then was worth $40 billion. And this interviewer asked him, "What will make you happy? Another billion." And I thought to myself, $40 billion and you're still not happy? You want $1 billion? You give me 10% of that, I'll be very happy. Because when you have, you always want more. You never were satisfied. Humanly, we will never get satisfied with what we have. We always want more. And so I tell myself, at this age, what do I need salary for? I can live with what I have, but I want to do what God wants me to do. Because I never know when my clock is going to end. Run out date. And I always tell my wife, you know something, I also even write, I have in my computer, I told her, when I die, these are the songs you're going to get them to sing for me at my funeral. And she said, where? All the songs I got in the computer. When you go there, you see, Jeffrey's dead. Then you click it on all of. I don't want everybody crying and jumping. Sing the song, bury the guy. Finish. Because you're all crying, I'm up there enjoying. You're making me sad, looking down at y'all. Why I want to be sad when y'all, I don't want y'all to be sad. You are crying there, fasting, I'm feasting up there. So, what do you need? And when I, like I said, when God gave me a second lease after the heart attack, it was what I said, thank you. Because there's something you want me to accomplish. I know I've done a lot, but I still can do a lot more. And that's why whenever I see people, I talk to them about God. That's the only thing I can talk of now. You talk to me about work, I'm not the least interested anymore because I don't want to work. Yes, some of you are young, you need to work, you need to look after your family. Don't say, pastor said, no need to work, I'm sitting at home now, my wife work. No, I don't, please, I didn't say that, okay? They're recording it, so I didn't say that. You need to work, you need to work. But you still can do what God calls you to do. But when I come to this age, you retire, you can give God your time, all your time you can give to God. Go and visit people. That's why I always sit down, talk to people. I have a diary that's so full. Monday, who I meet, Tuesday, who I meet, and I meet them over coffee. What is the best time, place to talk? And you know, my office is called Gloria Jeans. I have my church office and my mall office called Gloria Jeans. I sit there. Even the people in Gloria Jeans know that I'm a pastor, Catholic, that the minute I sit there, I don't order, they bring the thing ready. They know my drink or so. And sometimes I confuse them. I say, I don't want coffee, I want chai latte. He said, huh? I already made. Okay, then I bring it, I'll drink. Because I like, that's the only thing we can do. Create, you know, and the sad thing I realize is there's a generation growing up who don't know about God. How will they know if we don't tell? The Bible said, if they don't see. So our job is to tell. And I talk to all the waitresses there, nice, beautiful young girls. They're very respectful, and I always talk to them. And I invite them, come to church. They still haven't come, but I still invite. My invitation is every time I see them, I tell them, come to church. My church around the corner only. You just don't need, you cannot come, I'll pick you up also. Something I can create a difference. I pray that did you learn something this morning? Let me close in prayer.